Welcome to the Digital Story Show, new tools for the creative mind. The Digital Story Show takes you inside with tips for the creative pursuit of photography, music, video, hardware, software, techniques, and hacks. You'll soon find yourself thinking less about buttons and menus and more about expressing the artist inside us all. Now the Digital Story Show with Derek Story.
February 20th, 2007, The Digital Story Show with Derek Story. Today's topic, converting to black and white. Welcome back to another Digital Story episode. I've got a fun one for you today. This is actually based on a lot of reader mail that I've received over the last few months. People are very interested in the best ways to convert their images, their color images, the pictures they take with their camera to black and white. And you know what? This is a great project. And one of the real advantages of digital photography is that we have so much flexibility and power when it comes to taking color images and moving them to black and white. Now, I remember back way back in the old days when I was working with color film, and we wanted to take, or we needed to take, a color negative and make a black and white print from it. We had to use a special kind of paper. I believe it was called Panelure paper. And in the darkroom, you couldn't have a safe light on because the paper was sensitive to all the colors in the spectrum, not like a black and white paper. So you had to work in complete darkness, make the exposure on the enlarger onto the special Panelure paper, and process it, and then, you know, hope that you got what you got. Wasn't elegant, and talk about going through a lot of paper. I went through a fair amount of paper converting color negatives to black and white prints. Now, of course, you could always just shoot black and white, but then you don't have the color option if you need it. And sometimes it's really good to have both a black and white and a color version of an image, which is why digital photography is so much fun, because we can shoot in color and then convert it later to black and white. Now, one of the things that people ask me a lot is, well, should I use the black and white mode on my digital camera when I want black and white images? And the answer is no, really, no. Now, it's handy for pre-visualizing or visualizing how a certain picture might look once it's been converted. You know, so if you want to see how a scene will look, you can go to black and white mode. Take a picture, look at it on your LCD monitor, and then decide, well, you know, this has potential. This could end up to be a very nice black and white print. At that point, though, go back to your regular color mode and expose and do all the stuff that you know how to do in color mode, knowing that I'm going to give you two really nice methods for converting that color image to black and white today on this show. Now, before I get into that, we have a little bit of virtual camera club business to take care of. You know what? We have a photo assignment going on. This month's photo assignment is Texture, and they're already rolling in. And it's a good thing because we're getting kind of deep into February here, so now would be a good time to send that in. It's going to be another really good gallery, I can tell already. Just by the entries that we have, I'm sure you're sitting on your entry, and all you got to do is go to the submissions page, click the submissions button on thedigitalstory.com, get the scoop, get your picture in. Remember, February is a little shorter than the rest of the month, so that 28th can sneak up on you. Get it in by the end of the day on the 28th, and be a part of yet another outstanding reader-submitted photo gallery. I also want to thank both of our sponsors, Expo Disc at expodisc.com and Photomagico, photomagico.com. Both of these guys are way behind the digital story, very good supporters, and both of the products are terrific. Expo Disc, of course, for outstanding color white balance using the custom function on your camera, and Photomagico for making the best looking slideshows you can, and it's Mac only. So, you know, there you go. There's a good reason right there if you're not using a Mac right now to take a look at it. Also want to remind you about Grab Shots. Grab Shots are, you know, just a very important part of this effort here. If you're sitting on a good Grab Shot, make sure you go to the submissions page, find out how to submit it, send it to me. And remember, you won't hear back right away because, you know, they sort of roll in along with all sorts of other mail. But I keep an eye on all of them and I try to get them published. And when I do publish it, then I will send you mail. So if you don't hear anything, don't worry. I got it. It's in the queue. And hopefully I'll be able to get it up on the site. All right. So I think that's all the business I can think of for the moment. So let's get back to black and white photography. I have two cool conversion methods for you today, both using Photoshop. Now, two of them work in Photoshop CS, and then one of them works in Photoshop Elements. So regardless of which flavor you have of Photoshop, and this includes Photoshop 7 too, regardless of which flavor of Photoshop you have, at least one of these methods will work, and possibly both of them. Now, before I get into them, I should also mention that if you're using some of the newer software that's out there, such as Adobe's Photoshop Lightroom, which, hey, was just released, the 19th, you know, Adobe Photoshop Lightroom made its debut, and it's a beautiful application. It has some very powerful tools in the develop module for converting to black and white. So if you're using Lightroom, take a look at those because I think they're really nice. And then also, if you're using Aputure, there is a monochrome mixer built into the adjustments palette in Aputure, which is also very good. So either of those methods are terrific ways to convert your images to black and white. And what's nice about using either one of them is that then you stay in your environment where you're doing your cataloging and your keywording and everything else. If you're shooting raw, you know, your raw files are, you know, in there safe and sound, and you can use these tools to make black and white versions or virtual copies, depending on which application you're using, of those original images. Very handy and very powerful. Now, the fact of the matter is, though, a lot of folks yet aren't using either one of those applications, and almost everyone on the planet has some version of Photoshop on their computer, at least if they're a photographer. So those are going to be the two methods that I'm going to talk about today. Now, the first one, I just love this method. And, you know, I should note that, you know, there are about 5,000 different ways to convert an image to black and white. It's just like everything else in photography. And you're going to hear people tell you that, you know, this, you know, 47-step process is the only way to get really true black and white. And, you know, that's, you know, when people tell me that, I just smile and say, you know, I'm really glad that works for you. Write it up for me and I'll take a look at it. But you know what? Try these two methods I'm going to talk about today. They're a little bit easier. The first one is the hue saturation adjustment layer approach. This is really cool. Now, if you've never worked in layers before, and you can work in layers in both Elements and regular Photoshop, this will be a great introduction to show you how powerful layers actually are. And all you have to do on this method is take your original image, your JPEG or TIFF or whatever you have there. If you have a RAW file, if you're starting out with a RAW file, you will have to, you know, use Adobe Camera Raw to convert it to a Photoshop file or TIFF file, JPEG, whatever you want. So you have to start out with a file format that isn't RAW for both of these methods. Once you have the image opened, let's say that it's a Photoshop file, all you have to do is go to the adjustment layers control. And there's a couple ways that you can get to that. I think if you're in Photoshop Elements, you go to Layer, New Adjustment Layer, and then look for Hue Saturation. So, you know, at the top, you know, where you have layers, and then look for new adjustment layer, because that's what you're going to create. You're going to create a new adjustment layer, and then look for the hue saturation version of it. Now, you're going to create two of these layers, okay? And the order that you create them in is fairly important, although if you mess up, then, you know, it's really easy to fix. Now, I also have some other good news for you. I have written this up already, and they will be in the show notes. So it's not like last week where I said, you know, you can find the link to the Flickr badge in the show notes, and then I spaced out and forgot to put it in. Fortunately, a couple people wrote in and reminded me, hello. I did put that link in, but this week I've already written them up. And so that way we know they will be in there. So complete step by step on how to do both of these things will be in the show notes because I've already written them. Okay. So anyway, you're going to create two adjustment layers. Now, don't freak out on this if you're not a layers person, because this is really super easy. This is, especially if you follow the steps that are right there, boom, boom, boom. Really super easy. The first one that you're going to create is going to be the hue layer. We're going to create a hue layer and a saturation layer. So it's really easy. So you go to, the new adjustment layer thing, hue saturation, and then you get a little place where you can enter the name of it and just enter hue up there where you get to enter the name. And then you select normal from the mode pop-up menu. Normal is the default, so it's probably already selected for you. So then all you have to do is click OK. Boom. Just like that, you have created a new adjustment layer. Now, you don't have to do anything right now. You just want it. And if you want to see it, make sure that you go up to at the top of Photoshop window and select layers so that you can get the layers palette and you can see what you're up to here. Now, you have to create another adjustment layer. So you go back to the same thing that you did before, layer, new adjustment layer, hue saturation, and this time you're going to name it saturation. That's going to be the label for the second layer, saturation. And you're also going to change the mode on this. The mode is going to go from normal to color. You're going to choose color. So, and that's like way down on the mode pop-up menu. You'll find it. And then you click OK. Now you'll get a little dialog box, and this is where the fun begins. Now you start to play with your image. So you've got, you know, your layers palette open, you've got your image, it's already, on its way to being black and white. You take that saturation slider in the saturation control and you move it all the way over to the left to negative 100. Negative 100. Boom, right away, your image will be some version of black and white. Or, you know, just by doing that simple thing. So you move it all the way over to negative 100. Now go back to your layers palette, and that's that little thing that I asked you to make sure that you have up, where you have, you know, you'll have a background and you have the hue and the saturation thing right there in your layers palette. You'll see them, and go click once on hue. That was the first layer that you created. It'll be in the middle as they're lined up there. Click once on it, and then you'll see that there's a little like icon for the dialog box, you know, where you can make your adjustments. Double-click that, and that opens up your adjustment dialog box. Now all you have to do, this is where the fun really begins. You just go to the hue slider in that little dialog box and slide it to the left and slide it to the right. Just move it around. As you do that, you're applying, or you're looking at your image with all the different color filters applied to it. And it allows you to get just really all these different versions of black and white just by sliding this thing back and forth. You are going to have so much fun when you do this because you're not just stuck with one version of black and white or one interpretation of your color image in black and white. By sliding the hue slider to the left and to the right, you can look at like 100 variations of black and white interpretation of your image. And one of those is going to be right for you. When you find the right spot by sliding that hue slider back and forth, click OK, and you have done the conversion to beautiful black and white. Now, what I would do at this point is save your image as a Photoshop file using Save As. Create another image. Don't overwrite your original color image. Do Save As. Create another Photoshop file. Safe and sound. I usually put little BW in the file name so I know that it's the black and white one. And then at this point, if you want to play with your image a little bit more, let's say make a few more tonal adjustments, what I would do is in the layers palette there that we were working before, click on the background, because you got three items in there. You got saturation at the top, you got hue in the middle, and then you got background, which is, shows you your color image. Click once on that to select it, and then open your levels control. And levels is a tool that you're probably already using quite a bit. Make any final tonal adjustments to your midtones, your highlights, your shadows. Save as, or save again, because you've already done save as. And now you have a gorgeous black and white shot. So you can either print it out, or you can, if you want to make a JPEG of it, you can do that. Do save as again and select JPEG from the format menu. It will flatten all those layers for you and create another file. And now you have a beautiful black and white JPEG that you can put on a web page or do whatever you want with. What I like about the hue saturation adjustment layers approach is that you have all of your information there in the image. You have adjustment layers so that, if you did that first save as a Photoshop file and made sure that the layers box was checked so that you preserved the layers, so you can go back and do different interpretations of whenever you want. At this point, you're not causing any destruction to the image because you're just working in layers and using save as, creating new files. And you can make some really gorgeous prints out of your inkjet printer or send them off to the photo finishing service that you use. And they look great. You have highlight information, you have shadow information. They're just absolutely fabulous. So much better than some of the other methods that people use. Some of the bad methods that I don't recommend are converting to grayscale in the mode. Really don't like that method very much. You don't hardly have any control, and you end up throwing away some information. Another method I don't care for very much is to just desaturate the image. Again, you don't have a lot of control. You're just basically desaturating it. This method, this hue saturation adjustment layers method, by being able to move that hue slider back and forth and apply all the different sort of color filters to your image, it's like, you're using the orange filter and the yellow filter and the red filter in traditional black and white photography, and you can get exactly the look you want just by sliding that hue slider, and you can go back and do another interpretation whenever you want. Really a much better way to do your black and white conversion than doing the, change the mode to grayscale or just simply desaturating. Now, another method that a lot of people like to use, and I think it's a pretty good one too, it's a little bit easier to set up, a little faster to set up than what I just outlined, but that's using the channel mixer in Photoshop. And now this is a Photoshop CS, Photoshop 7 approach. I don't think you have the channel mixer in Photoshop Elements, at least not on the Mac you don't. But this is a really nice method too. So here all you have to do is, open up your picture, go up to the top and get, Image, Adjustments, and choose Channel Mixer. That's the path that you go. And then when the channel mixer opens, click the monochrome box, and right away your color image will be converted to black and white. And you'll see that if you have the preview box checked. Okay, and then the starting points, you'll have three sliders, red, green, and blue. The starting point that I recommend, to take the first look at this black and white conversion, set the red to 30, green to 60, and blue to 10. So that's 30, 60, 10. Again, these are in the show notes. These basically, they approximate, how our eyes would see the black and white world, Now, from this point, though, you can change the red, the green, and the blue slider to create the look that you want. The one thing to keep in mind when you're using the channel mixer is that when you're done, you sort of want them to add up to 100. Or as close to as 100 you get. 100 isn't a hard and fast rule, but generally speaking, you want the R and the G and the B channels to add up to 100. That way, you know, you're kind of hanging on to the integrity of the picture. And then after you do that, you can do a little final tonal adjustment using levels and save as, and off you go. So the channel mixer is another nice way to go. It works really well. I think it's a little bit harder to use than the hue saturation adjustment layer, because on the hue saturation, you're just sliding one slider back and forth to get all the different looks. And on the channel mixer, you actually have to play with the three different sliders. But, you know, it's up to you. They both produce really nice black and white, and either one of them is a good way to go. Now, once you have a few of your black and white conversions made, I highly, highly recommend that you make some prints, because looking at black and white on a computer monitor is fun, right? It's okay. It's a good time. But looking at a black and white print that you hold in your hand, that's big fun. That's a great time. That's what it's really all about in photography. And you can make some pretty good black and white prints, depending on the printer that you have, with your regular inkjet printer. Now, if you have bought a printer recently, I think that the ones today are making better black and white images than a few years ago. One of the things that you want to look for, and if you're out shopping for a printer right now, one of the things you want to look for is to make sure that they have more than one black ink cartridge. For instance, on my Epson R2400 printer, it has a black, and then it has light gray, and then it has light gray. So, you know, that, you know, really gives me a lot more tonal information to work with when I'm making a print. It can approximate what I see on my screen a lot better. Now, I've also just tested a brand new printer, and actually I wrote about it on the site, on the Digital Story, last week. The HP B as in boy, 9180. And it's a nice 13 by 19 inch printer, just like the Epson R2400. It doesn't cost as much. The R2400 these days are costing about $800 US, and the B9180, the HP, is costing about $500 US. And, you know, these are gallery quality printers. You know, these, you know, the output from these things, up to 13 by 19 inches, you can put on a gallery wall, and they look great, especially depending on the paper stock that you use and so forth. Now, the HP printer only has two black cartridges that it uses at a time. It has, you know, its regular photo black or matte black, and then it has one gray cartridge. But it does a fabulous job on the black and white stuff, and especially if you print it on the fine art paper, it just looks beautiful. Now, there are all sorts of other printers out there, and, you know, you probably have one of them. If your printer, if your inkjet printer has more than one black ink cartridge that it will use during the printing process, you probably can get really, really, really good black and white prints out of it. If it only has one black cartridge, so don't give up hope. Read the documentation that comes with your printer. Go online and, you know, read some reviews about it, paying special attention to what the reviewers say about the black and white output. Look for tips in terms of types of paper to use and things like that, and give it a go. Seriously, make some black and white prints and then show them to people. And see what they say. I think people, first of all, I think the response to black and white photography is tremendous these days. I don't know, you know, this resurgence has been going on for a long time. When I do weddings, almost every bride wants at least some of her shots in black and white. When I show people black and white prints, especially the 13 by 19 prints that come out of my Epson or my HP, they go gaga over them. And so it's another one of these ways that as photographers, as enthusiasts, as people who just love photography, a way that we can have our images look different than, you know, the snap shooters out there who really aren't enthusiasts, who like to take pictures at special events and vacations and travel, but don't necessarily love photography the way that we love it. And so, you know, one of the things that we're always looking for as enthusiasts are ways for our images to look different than those produced by the snap shooters out there, because quite honestly, we don't want to be put in the same category as them. We try harder, we pay more attention, you know, we listen to podcasts and, you know, read stuff online and experiment with our camera. We want our stuff to look better, and that's just the way it is. So, you know, a lot of times on these shows, I'll talk about ways that you can differentiate your photography from those that aren't as serious about it. You know, macro photography, you know, is one of the things I've talked about in the past, you know, getting closer, getting really tight, because a lot of, you know, snap shooters won't do that. Black and white photography is another way that you can differentiate yourself from other photographers out there. And you know what? It's not that hard. If you just try these methods that I've outlined today and play a little bit with your inkjet printer, or send them off to Shutterfly or SmugMug or whoever you happen to use, you'd be surprised at how good you can make your black and white. And the thing is, keep notes on what you're doing so that you can repeat it. So that, you know, next time it's time to do some more black and white work, because, you know, there could be gaps in time. You know, it could be a couple months before you go back and do some more black and white. Keep notes that you can go back and refer to so that you can repeat that magic formula that you come up with. Black and white photography, I'm telling you, it's a lot of fun. Check this stuff out. Have some fun. Play with it. And write me if you get something really good, or send me a shot or something, or convert something and send it in as a grab shot. I'd love to show it off to the rest of the folks in our virtual camera club. And you know what? You know what? There's a possibility that black and white might be the photo assignment for next month. You know, I'm not promising anything, but I'm just saying that, whoa, it's something that I'm contemplating. If you have an opinion about that or anything else that I've talked about today, drop me a line, send me some photos, go out there, take some pictures, and now convert some of them to black and white. All right, and I will see you here next week. Bye-bye now.
Your questions and comments, email them to questions@thedigitalstory.com. For show notes, weblogs, and informative articles, visit www.thedigitalstory.com. We'll see you next time on The Digital Story.